What does full range of motion and stretch and flex have in common? And why should you care? Is stretching just for warm-ups and cool-downs, or is it something more? Let's get into it.
Welcome to Scale to Fit, Fit in Your 50s. Just show up, make a plan, feel stronger than you can. Small steps lead to victory, you're rewriting history. Scale to fit, fit in your 50s with Marco Lindgren. Come on and join us.
That tedious task you are supposed to do, but today you don't really need it. You feel fine and really you don't have time for it. That thing that almost every active person I know underestimates or at least under-delivers. Yeah. You know it, stretching. Those few precious minutes at the beginning or at the end of your workout that most of us like to rush through or even skip. Well, this episode is for you. And if you're a grown-up actively exercising, this episode might just be one of the most important ones you listen to this year. I'll be talking about stretching as part of your exercise routine, focusing specifically on four activities: walking, biking, running, and bodyweight training, or calisthenics. I'll also dig into how the full range of motion relates to flexibility and why that connection becomes more and more important with each passing decade. And for stretching, as for any other activity applies what I like to say, don't do nothing, do something and scale it back. As we grow up, our muscles naturally lose some of their elasticity over time. Joints become stiffer, connective tissue tightens, and the smooth, free movement we took for granted in our 20s and 30s starts to require a bit more effort. This is the way the cookie crumbles, but you shouldn't just accept it and move on. Regular stretching can help improve joint flexibility and decrease muscle and joint pain. Research has even found that grown-ups who stretch regularly tend to have lower heart rates and blood pressure and better balance. That's pretty compelling already, isn't it? One of the most important benefits of stretching for older adults is its role in preventing falls. Older adults, meaning people over 60 in this case. Studies have shown that stretching the legs improves balance. That is not a small thing. Stretching is a direct, proactive way to reduce the risk of falls. So, whether you're an athlete or just someone who wants to stay active and upright, stretching deserves a real place in your routine. It is an investment in your future self.
Yes!
Let's start with walking, the most accessible form of exercise on the planet. It is low impact, it is free, and people of all fitness levels can do it. But even something as natural as walking can put strain on tight muscles in your legs. According to Harvard Health Publishing, the areas most critical for mobility are in your lower extremities, that is, your legs, your calves, hamstrings, hip flexors in the pelvis, and quadriceps at the front of the thigh. These are exactly the muscle groups that walking engages most, and they are the ones most likely to tighten up over time. The good news is that stretching for walking doesn't require much time or equipment. I recommend spending 5 minutes before your walk doing some gentle dynamic movements, leg swings, hip circles, a little marching in place to get the blood flowing. Think of it as waking the muscles up, stretching them ready, rather than just going for a walk with those old, cold, stiff rubber bands. After the walk, when your muscles are warm and pliable, is an ideal time for your static stretches. Focus on your calves, hamstrings, and hip flexors. Stretch until you feel a slight pull, hold for about 30 seconds, and repeat on both sides 2 to 4 times. These areas tend to be the tightest for most people and have the biggest impact on walking efficiently and comfortably. Frequent stretching helps reduce muscle stiffness, which can cause pain and restricted movement. It also improves circulation, supporting overall health and raising energy levels. So those post-walk stretches aren't just recovery, they are setting you up for a better walk tomorrow. Bodyweight exercise and calisthenics, while incredible for building functional strength without a gym and scalable for all fitness levels, place a significant demand on your joints and connective tissue. For safe and effective training, mobility and flexibility are essential. All strength training workouts should be followed by a few minutes of static stretching. Static stretches allows the joints to regain their full range of motion, reduces muscle soreness and keeps muscles in balance, promoting good posture. Stretching immediately after a workout maximizes muscle length and range of motion while the muscles are still warm. For bodyweight training, shoulder flexibility is particularly important for exercises like push-ups and dips. Hip flexibility is critical for deep squats, and wrist mobility, something people don't often think about, matters a lot for planks and any weight-bearing hand positions. A mobility-focused warm-up before your bodyweight session will do wonders for your performance and your longevity in the practice. Hip circles, arm swings, and bodyweight squats through a full range of motion should be part of your warm-up. Stretching for warm-ups and cool-downs is sort of a baseline to build on. Progressing specifically in calisthenics requires, if not more stretching, then at least a bit different approach to it. If your movement is restricted, you can't build real strength on top of it. If your joints don't move well, your strength will always be limited, and probably something will eventually break down. Our friends at purecalisthenics.com have written a book about it. The link is in the show notes. The book Calisthenics Stretch Your Way to Strong presents an integrated approach to bodyweight training that unifies mobility, flexibility, and strength development into a single progression-based system. Mobility is seen as the primary driver of strength rather than a warm-up or cool-down activity. The book argues that increasing your usable range of motion actually expands your potential for strength. When you build strength at longer muscle lengths through controlled progressive stretching and bodyweight training, you are not just becoming stronger, you are also becoming more resilient. Since tendons and connective tissue adapt more slowly than muscles, progression needs to be patient and deliberate. The goal isn't short-term intensity or flashy advanced moves. The goal is building a body that remains strong, mobile, and injury-resistant for decades. Overall, the book Stretch Your Way to Strong presents strength not as brute force, but as controlled capability across full ranges of motion, a philosophy that prioritizes durability over ego. With the illustrated instructions, the book helps you build a stretching routine to support you on your individual exercise path.
Hey, just a quick note before we continue with the show. If this episode resonates with you, please share it with someone who might need to hear it. And now, back to the show.
The Good to Know Corner.
As I've mentioned before, quite a while back I practiced Ashtanga Yoga actively for over a year, and I can still feel some asanas in my backbone. Now that I have tried calisthenics and stretching, I have to say it feels a lot like Ashtanga. So, let's have a look at what Ashtanga and calisthenics have in common and how they differ. Ashtanga Yoga and calisthenics both build strength and flexibility, but they do so in very different ways, despite the similar gut feeling. From experience, I can say that Ashtanga is not your average stretch and relax yoga class. It is a dynamic, physically demanding practice where you move through a set of sequence of postures, those are called asanas, all synchronized with your breathing, which is surprisingly tough. At first, while just going through the warm-up sequence, the sun salutations, it was impossible for me to keep my breathing under control. Ashtanga is like a moving and flowing meditation that also happens to give you a serious workout. What makes Ashtanga so special and demanding is that it works on your strength and flexibility at the same time, simultaneously. All that twisting, bending and balancing gradually improves your range of motion, your muscles, tendons and joints all get more subtle over time. And the strength improvement comes from holding the poses, transitioning between them repeatedly, and keeping multiple muscle groups engaged all at once. Especially your core gets a proper workout. As opposed to calisthenics, Ashtanga Yoga doesn't include any pull-ups or other pull movements. The end result is a balanced functional strength, the kind that actually helps you move better in everyday life, not just during the exercise.
Yes!
Calisthenics has similar body weight training movements like push-ups, squats, dips and planks, and those pull-ups also. The beauty lies in simplicity and scalability. There's always a way to make the movement harder or easier to fit your current state. The core goal of calisthenics is to build strength and muscle mass through progressive overload. Basically, you keep challenging yourself with more difficult variations as you get stronger. Flexibility is definitely part of the picture. The program should always include stretching at least before and after the session. But the thing is, stretching doesn't really sit at the center of the practice the way it is an elementary part of Ashtanga. Flexibility in calisthenics is more about making sure your body can move efficiently through the exercises rather than being a goal in its own right. While the main differences are the pull movements in calisthenics and the emphasis on flexibility in Ashtanga, they share many similarities. First of all, they both use your body weight as resistance. No barbells and no machines needed. Both engage multiple muscle groups at once, build serious core stability and functional strength. They both can be scaled for pretty much any fitness level. And if you push the intensity, both can get your heart rate high enough to give a proper full body workout. The biggest difference between the two comes down to philosophy and focus. Ashtanga weaves strength and flexibility together in one flowing, often meditative experience. The stretching is deep, sustained, and very much at the heart of what you are doing. The strength you build is about stability, endurance, and body control. Calisthenics flips the priority. Strength and muscle development are front and center, and flexibility training plays more of a supporting yet important role. The end goal in calisthenics is often maximal strength, like one-arm push-ups, muscle-ups and handstands, with flexibility helping you get there rather than being the destination itself. So, how to make a choice? If you're drawn to a holistic mind-body practice that builds balanced strength while seriously improving your flexibility and mobility, Ashtanga is a beautiful choice. If your main goal is building strength, muscle, and athletic performance through progressively challenging bodyweight movements, calisthenics might be your thing. And yeah, why just pick one? When combined, the results can be quite remarkable, something worth thinking about.
The Good to Know Corner.
Cycling, biking, or bicycling is a great cardiovascular workout and gentle on the body and joints. Perfect sport for grown-ups. But it comes with its own set of muscular demands, making stretching absolutely essential. When biking, the body stays in a fairly fixed, forward-flexed position throughout the ride. Your hips are bent, your back is rounded, and the same set of muscles, quads, hip flexors, and calves, are firing over and over in a limited range of motion. Most cycling injuries result from tight muscles or a limited range of motion. From knee pain to underdeveloped glutes. I have experienced excruciating knee pain myself. But by focusing on certain muscles and their often neglected counterparts, routine stretching will unlock the full potential of your muscles and joints. Yoga and Pilates are effective ways to counteract the decline in joint and spine flexibility. Also, including another sport with more extension like swimming, running, or cross-country skiing would help keep the body in shape. For cyclists, it's worthwhile to pay particular attention to hip flexor, quad and spinal extension stretches after a ride. And just like with walking, warm up before you hop on. Some light leg circles and walking lunges can get the hips primed and ready for the repetitive pedaling motion. Running is where stretching really earns its reputation as a non-negotiable. It is a high-impact activity that puts a tremendous load on your legs, hips, ankles, and lower back. And the muscles involved tend to shorten and tighten over time. For runners, especially for us grown-ups, there are two important principles to understand. Dynamic stretching before you run and static stretching after. Dynamic flexibility is the ability to move muscles and joints through their full range of motion during active movement. Many cardio workouts, like running, use a minimal range of motion and are done in one plane of motion. Dynamic exercises involve more complete motions, which better engage the muscles and decrease injury risk. So, before you run, do some leg swings, walking lunges, and high knees. These movements mimic the running motion and prepare your body for what's coming. After the run, your muscles are fully warm, and that's when to do hamstring, calf, IT band, and hip flexor stretches. These are the areas most prone to tightness with running. Muscles that are inflexible tire more quickly, causing opposing muscle groups to work harder. Muscle fatigue can lead to muscle injuries and impair the muscle's ability to protect joints from more severe injuries. For example, the hamstrings help stabilize the knee and prevent injuries. That's a striking reminder of how interconnected everything is. Tight calves can contribute to knee tendonitis. Tight hip flexors can cause back pain. When running, tightness in one spot rarely stays contained to just that spot. All right, let's zoom out for the big picture and talk about the full range of motion, because this is where everything ties together. Flexibility is the ability to move through a full joint range of motion, while stretching is an intervention to improve flexibility and achieve other goals such as post-exercise relaxation. In practical terms, your range of motion is how far a joint can move before it risks strain or damage. When that range is limited because of tight muscles, sedentary habits, or simple aging, your entire movement quality suffers. Joints require movement through a full range of motion to maintain the health of the structures within the joint. With increased blood supply and nutrition to joint structures and an increased quantity of synovial fluid. Think of synovial fluid as the oil that keeps your joints running smoothly. Without movement, without that full range of motion, joints start to dry out and stiffen. Research has shown that stretching can improve flexibility and, as a result, the range of motion of your joints. However, if you stop stretching, your range of motion may start to decrease. Consistency, then, is the real key. Stretching isn't a one-time fix, it is an ongoing practice. Most people tend to lose flexibility as they grow up, partly due to inactivity. When not in use, the connective tissue in the joint becomes shortened. Regular exercise and dynamic and static stretching can help maintain the full range of motion. The three main types of stretching are worth understanding. Dynamic stretching involves moving a limb through its range of motion, is best done before activity to warm up the muscles. And then static stretching, in which you hold a position for 30 seconds or more, is most effective after exercise when muscles are already warm. And the third, proprioceptive neuromuscular facilitation, PNF, stretching combines passive stretching with isometric muscle contractions. It is one of the most effective methods for making lasting gains in flexibility. If you are working with a trainer or a physical therapist, that's the great one to explore. So, to conclude, a few key principles to take with you.
1.
Always warm up before static stretching. Start with gentle movement to warm up the muscles. Stretching will be significantly more effective and safer.
2.
Never bounce. Bouncing during a stretch, called ballistic stretching, creates tension in the muscle rather than releasing it, and increases the risk of injury. Move slowly and gently into each stretch.
3.
Aim for mild tension, never pain. Stretching should feel like a comfortable pull, not something that makes you wince. If it hurts, back off.
4.
Be consistent. It is recommended to stretch for 20-30 minutes several times a week, holding each static stretch for at least 30 seconds and 1-2 minutes for deeper benefits.
5.
This is important for any grown-up. Check in with your doctor or a physical therapist before starting a new stretching or exercise routine, especially if you have any existing conditions or past injuries. A professional can help you tailor your approach safely and effectively.
Weekly challenge.
Stretching might not feel as exciting as setting a new personal best or hitting a tough workout, but it is the foundation that makes all of it sustainable. It keeps you moving, it keeps you safe, and it keeps you doing the things you love for years to come. Before your next exercise, include a short dynamic stretching session, and after the workout, a bit longer static stretching session. Soon you won't be able to train without them. And no matter what, remember what I like to say: don't do nothing, do something, and scale it back.
Welcome to Scale to Fit, Fit in Your 50s.
And I am Marko Lindgren. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If this episode resonated with you, please share it with someone who might need to hear it. All sounds are made by me, except the jingle that was made by Gemini. Send us your feedback via email to feedback@scale2.fit or leave a rating at podchaser.com. Check show notes at scale2.fit. All the links are there.